This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. You are listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Welcome. We're so glad you joined us for another season, a brand new season of our podcast. This season, we're going to be talking about resetting outcomes, and I think it's going to change how you look at how you proceed and plan change and how one thing equals another. I almost wanted to call this season the equal season because of the way that we've named some of the episodes that we're looking at. Like, here's the equality, how they measure up together. So this episode, we're going to be talking about redevelop equals renovation. And when you were considering this particular episode, what was the first thing that jumped out at you when you were thinking of what you wanted to say and share?
I think that the first thing I want to say is Happy New Year's, everyone.
That's right.
That's the first thing.
Yep, yep.
We are in 2022, just leaving 2021, still in a consistent pandemic with the COVID, and things continue to keep moving. I want to share a little bit. I was sharing with my women's group last night. We've been on a fast and want to share a little bit about what I had seen through my time away. I've been away for 6 weeks, and I am back. So I had a six-week sabbatical. So I'm just enjoying you talk about what was I thinking, redevelopment equals renovation. I think all of that is pretty much what I did for 6 weeks is step back so I could do some redevelopment, but also so I could renovate some things in my life. And so getting back to COVID, one of the things that I was praying while I was gone, and I was asking the Lord, for me, like, Lord, you know, as we go into 2022, every year we all think about things we want to become and we want some outcomes. And I just wanted to look at how do we reset outcomes and what does that look like? Meaning, reset means to reconsider it, you know what I mean? To think different, to not always think the same way. And so when I was praying about COVID, I was asking the Lord, how long shall this be with us? And I felt like I really heard him say, it's going to be here, so get used to it. And then it was like, what does that mean? And then I saw this vision, and what I saw was this big ball of, it was almost like fire. It really was. It was like it was consuming. And it was like a fireball. But the fireball kept lessening as it was spinning around. It seemed like it kept breaking a loose one piece at a time. And so I was like, what is that? And I felt like what I felt that I was seeing was the big fireball was how COVID came and joined in our lives. It came in like a fire, a consuming fire. And it began to consume us, and it knocked us off our kilter. And then all of a sudden, I start seeing it break loose into smaller fireballs.
Getting smaller and smaller.
Smaller and smaller. Yeah, but they were breaking loose, but they were still fireballs. And I kept saying, what is that? And I felt like the Spirit of the Lord showed me that that is what it means to, you know, for it to the different variants of the COVID, you know, how it continues to break loose, whether it's the Delta variants and now the Omicron variants. And so that the Omicron variants was going to be somewhat like the one that breaks down into the particles that learn to live with the humans is what I saw. And so I didn't really understand it as much, but I accepted it because I felt like I don't know what I'm talking about and I don't have no clue what that means, but I know what I saw. I am a person that sees, I see pictures when I speak and talk. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, so that means that this variant now is going to somewhat live with us, like the flu or like pneumonia or like a common cold. And it was like, yeah, it's going to live with you. So get used to it. It's not going anywhere. And it may not be as overtaking, you know, it won't overtake you all like the beginning, because you will learn how to navigate through it. And I was like, oh, okay. So then all of a sudden, I just kind of left it at that. So I went on all my life and didn't really think about it as much anymore. And then yesterday, out of nowhere, I get this, I guess it just came across my email, and it was Dr. Fauci talking about what's happening. And it was almost like he was confirming what I saw, and he talked about the pandemic, then the epidemic, and then the endemic. And an endemic is when something is able to be maintained or just kind of lives amongst certain life. And so they're believing that COVID is coming to an endemic. It's coming to that level. And so it just kind of confirmed for me, and it kind of put words around, and it developed or redeveloped a thought process for me of what I saw. And it came from the people who have the education behind this and does the studies about, you know, different diseases and different viruses that come into the earth. So it just kind of like let me know that how confirming the word of God is. When he gives you a word, then he'll confirm it. And he puts words around it to let you see what you saw was what they are now talking about. And I sent you the email as well. So when you ask me what was I thinking about when I thought about redevelop equals renovation, what I was thinking about is when you redevelop something, you have to be willing to go through the construction of it. And sometimes that means you have to tear down what you thought you knew in order to rebuild what you want. And so I think it comes down to demolishing as well some of the thought patterns that we have, even the concept about what outcomes are. I think I want to talk more about, you know, resetting outcomes. So when we deal with this season, we're not looking at outcomes as the way we used to look at them. Sometimes I believe that we've looked at outcomes as a way of the end result, the goal. It's like running a race. You know, you look at, you know, if you do a 26, you know, if you do a marathon, it's 26 miles. Every mile you're looking for the 26th one. But I think what we've done so often is that we've missed the opportunities to grow in the beginning and the middle because we're so focused on the outcome. And so I want to talk a little bit about redeveloping what outcomes are and how do we really get to the outcome and how do we really reset it in the way that we think. I feel for me that we don't focus on why we do what we do. You know, what is the motivation? A lot of times we end up not with the outcome we want because we don't want to do the work that it costs. And then in order to redevelop something that equals renovation, that means to tear down. And a lot of us don't want to tear down the very thing that we need to tear down in order to renovate and really redevelop the thing that we want most, if that makes sense.
It does. So I would ask, what do you think prohibits folks or impedes them when they're looking at that?
I think that it's the process. I think that the process sometimes when we, again, I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, in the first of the year, we all come up with, you know, resolutions. We all come up with things we're going to do for the year. And we might come strong the first week, the first 2 weeks, maybe in the first 3 weeks. But it's that fourth week that all of a sudden, if we don't get the instantaneous results that we want, then we're discouraged. So when you ask me what impedes us, I think our emotional, our inability to have very healthy ability to be emotionally well. I think that emotional intelligence, I don't think that we are rational people as much as we think we are. And so I think that I'm going to talk a little bit about that down on another, but being, relatable and being rational and having some rational intelligence. I think that that gets and impedes us from the way that we do things. And I think that we forget about the why. See, I think if we stay on the why, we'll get to the what and we'll get to the how. And then we'll get to the place we want to be, but we have to never forget the why we're doing it.
And I think, too, some will see small progress is not enough. Like you were talking about how they would give up. And it reminds me of if you've ever been a member of a gym for any length of time and you go to the gym, the first of the year they call it resolution season. And it's usually the month of January. And everything is packed and everybody is on the machines doing their thing. And then you know about beginning of February, maybe to the mid part of February, it starts to thin out again. That's because exactly what you said. People give up. They don't see the big results. And maybe they're missing the small results because, you know, movement is medicine. If you're moving, that's a good thing. So, and you will see good results from it. But maybe not the 30-pound weight loss all at once or, you know, a bunch of inches all at once. So it's just the learning to have patience in that and being consistent and continually hitting it and realizing that small progress is progress.
It is. It is. It's a little bit. You know, I'm going to give you one of the things about just showing up is progress.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think that when it comes to redeveloping the way we look at outcomes, just showing up, nothing else, just show up. And I'm going to give you an example. This morning, the whole time I was gone for 6 weeks, I didn't really work out. It was my choice. I was giving my whole life a rest. And so this morning, I set a new perspective, and I said, okay, today, I started last week, and I said, today is going to be the beginning of the day that I get back up to begin to work out. So I've not worked out for almost 7 weeks. And so what I did was that I'm not going to overdo it because I'm a DI by disc. I don't know if people know that, you know, I'm determined. I'm, you know, dogmatic. I do it, go hard, you know, oh my God, sometimes.
Determined.
And so I'm determined. I'm dogmatic. I go hard. I'm all of those things. And so I decided because I'm doing this podcast about the outcome that I wasn't going to be that determined, I was going to slowly inch back into it.
Yeah.
And so I had went down into our lower room, which we call the basement, most of us in homes. I went to the lower room, and I noticed we have a bicycle there that I've never rode. You know, it's just there. Because I like walking more so than I do anything else. I'm a walker more than a bicycle rider. And so this morning, though, I decided the 7-minute rule. I got a 7-minute rule. And the first thing to do is show up. So last night, I actually put my clothes down in the basement, my workout clothes, put them down there. And so when I got up, brushed my teeth, washed my face, because those are the first things you do.
And made your bed.
And made my bed.
That's right.
Those are my three things.
That's right.
You know, that means I've already started the day when I've washed my face, brushed my teeth, and make my bed. I've already did a lot when I do those three things.
You've accomplished
three things.
That's right.
Exactly. And so I went downstairs and I took off my pajamas downstairs and put on my workout clothes. And so I rode the bicycle. It's the 7-minute rule. I rode it for 7 minutes. And then I then got off the bicycle and ran in place for 7 minutes.
Wow.
Then what I did is I lifted weights for 7 minutes. So it was a total of 21 minutes that I got back into the groove. And I am telling you, when I finished, I could feel it. But it's the 7-minute rule. But the first thing, before I could get to the 7-minute rule for Lakrita, that's my new thing, the 7-minute rule. Before I could get there, I had to show up. So to redevelop my thinking, because it only takes 21 days to build a habit and 21 days to break it. So for 7 weeks, I haven't worked out. So my mindset was not to get up and work out again.
I bet not. It was probably saying, let's just stay right here.
Exactly. So, and yet I realize is that with any discipline or any redevelopment and any renovation that you're going to do, to renovate means to create again. I had to come up with a plan that was going to work for me. And so I decided to use the 7-minute rule. I'm going to do everything, those three things, in 7 minutes. I'm not going to try to overkill. I'm not going to overcommit. I'm not going to overdo. And I'm not going to expect to see great results today. But if I continue this on for the next 6 months, I'm going to, hope to see some results.
You should see some results.
And so
results,
my point is that we should not always look at the end, but we should look at the beginning and then just embrace that moment that I showed up. And that I did those three circular things, ride the bike, run in place, and lifted weights for 7 minutes each one. And that's it. And I'm not committing to doing that every day. I'm only committing to doing something in that line 3 days a week. Because I think we overcommit. And then we underdeliver. And then we underdevelop. And then we under-reconstruct. You know what I'm saying? And renovate, under-renovate. We don't get to where we need to be because we undercommit. Does that make sense?
It totally does. It's like getting excited about building a house. You can't just run out and build a house, right? You get excited, you really want it, but you have to slow down and go, okay, how do I plan this out? And how do I do this? How am I strategic? Because you have to have the plan. You can't just build a house. But we get so excited about things like that, that we want to run into them really quick and we want to give everything we've got. And then we kind of like, we give out because we put too much energy. We put too much focus. We run too hard, too fast, too quick, And so what you're saying totally makes sense. You're committing to 3 times a week. That's very conservative, but doable. And you're doing 21 minutes, right? And I think that's well within, that's a doable thing. That's something that you can accomplish and feel like you're not going to come away demoralized because I'm going to work out for an hour every single day. And then by day 3, you're like, oh, this is not working. This is not good. I don't want to do this. So,
yeah. And so the other thing is that you're talking about renovating a house or building a house. I'm going to talk about that a little more, too, as I celebrate 25 years of ministry this year. I'm going to either do a whole podcast, maybe next season. But I want to start doing, some things after the resetting piece. We had some resetting, but now I'm going to talk about what that journey's been like for 25 years in ministry.
Yeah, congratulations. Hopefully,
thank you.
That's great.
Just showing up. But I had to show up.
For 25 years.
For 25 years. Every day, I had to show up.
You had to break that down to 25 years, then there were 365 days in that year, so you had to show up 365 days, and then how many ever minutes a day, so yeah. Break it down into the smaller parts.
Yeah, and so I could see, because no one could have told me 25 years ago that I'd be sitting here today still doing what I'm doing, and I know that the neat thing about what I'm able to be a part of has redeveloped me and renovated me.
Oh, wow.
And so that is the blessing of it, is that ministry, this program, Working in Recovery, Having the Courage to Change, Exodus, Working with City Gospel Mission, it has all been a part of my redevelopment, but it's also been part of my renovation. And when you just define renovation, you define it as construction and you find demolition. So I had to reconstruct so many things from the internal self, my internal self, so I can show up to be who I am today. I had to demolish so many mindsets, I had to allow wisdom to show up to my wounds. and give me different insight and give me some hindsight so I could have some foresight. I had to be willing, and I had to, you know what I mean? Because I had to have the mindset that I had to in order for me to want to, now that I know I get to. So, but in the beginning, I just had to show up because I know how to get to, but I had to first. So my had to showed, you know, came first. And then, after having to do it, I realized I wanted to do it. And then once I got to wanting to do it, I'm at getting to do it. And so it's a pleasure. It's exciting. And it's hormones that get released in my brain when I say, I get to do this. You know, yeah. I get to do that. I get to do, instead of looking at it as drudgery or some work or whatever, because I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, have you done this every day for 25 years? Because I get to do this. I get to be the eyes and the ears and the breath and the feet and the heart of God in the earth, mm-hmm. to let other people see him through my life, because he is constantly redeveloping and renovating my heart. There's a book by Dallas Willard that is called The Renovation of the Heart. I read that a couple of years ago, and he talks about how God strips away things inside of us, and he goes from room to room in your heart, to renovate it and reconstruct it, to make it again. And I just feel like that the outcome is being, I reset my life and my outcomes through being able to see the redevelop and the reconstruction and the renovation.
When you're talking about that, when you're saying redevelop and renovation, I keep seeing in my mind a brick building that has had everything gutted out of it. And in all redevelopments, there's at least one thing that remains, whether that is just the land,
mm-hmm.
that the things are built on. And so we are like that, the one thing that remains that is being redone and redeveloped. And just getting back to what I started with, I can see a brick building that's just had everything pulled out of it, and the only thing that's literally left are the walls. And you get to go in there and put in the new rooms, and you get to put in the fresh things that need to be in that to make it something else, right?
To recreate the whole look of it, exactly.
Yeah.
And so all of that is, you get to see it in a different way.
Yeah.
And so I believe that before you can really get to an outcome, you have to be, I believe that the best way to get to the greatest outcome is to see where you're going before you start. Where is it that you want to end up? So I think that redevelopers, when developers come into a project, they have to be willing to see the end while they're still at the beginning, but they know that in order to get to the end, they still have to start at the beginning. And so the building you're talking, gutting it out, they know that it has to be gutted out so they can almost have a clean canvas to draw upon.
Yeah.
And so I think resetting outcomes is like cleaning, wiping down the canvas again. That's like New Year's, it gets to say, I don't know what I did in last year, but this year I get to write on the canvas again. I get to clear away, and see it from a perspective and a perception that was not there before. And so I get a chance to look at how to reset the outcome I want. And I always tell people, I don't have to be perfect, but I have to be present.
Yeah.
I have to be present. And half of the battle of anything is being aware. I have learned that the power I have is my awareness. If I am aware of me and what's around me, there lies my power. When I'm not aware of that, I don't have the power to get where I'm going.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. If you're not aware of what's going on around you anyway, you're going to miss stuff. You're going to potentially walk into places you don't necessarily want to go. You're going to react in ways you don't necessarily mean to. Yeah. Awareness, it just sounds key.
Oh, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's you're being present into the awareness of what you know to be true, too. It's like I know certain things. I shared some things last night about a situation with me and my husband, and just not, and I don't think it's just my husband. I think it's just me, period. The deeper places where wisdom, and you're going to hear me say this throughout this podcast, because that's what the Lord has shown me. He said, I am your wisdom bringing, I'm bringing wisdom to your wounds. And so in other words, when his wisdom shows up, he's showing me some wounded areas in my life that only his wisdom can show me about me, for me, to be a better me. And so it's just amazing that this is the year that he is going to bring his wisdom to some woundedness that I've had that has been so ingrained in me to a place where I need to be redeveloped and I need renovation in those areas because they have become the tapestry of who I am. And I don't even know I've been reacting to that wounded space because it wasn't healed. And I just think that healing is so much deeper than just a scrape. You know, it's a consistent, what would I say? One of the things I've been saying on my sabbatical is that I feel like that my heart has been circumcised again. And I, you know, we know that males get circumcised. They say it's very painful. I don't know. But I do know that the circumcision of the heart is painful. And yet it brings so much cleansing and so much healing. And so I feel like that when wisdom meets woundedness, the wisdom is bringing and coming to a circumcision of my life. He's pulling back foreskins of areas that I have layered over 60 years or over 50 years, because when I had the traumatic experience moment, I call it the TMI, you know, the TEM, it's the traumatic experience moment. When I had it, there was hardness that came over my life. And now he's pulling back some of those things at 61 years old that happened when I was 5 or 10 or 12 or 15 or 19, and he's letting me see that there's things that I still react to and respond to in these areas because of that TEM, that traumatic experience moment. And so he's showing me that I need to go deeper and wider sometimes and longer into those areas so the wisdom can show me the area that I'm still not healed in.
That's mercy right there. And that I thought of the scripture that said, he gives us a heart of flesh for a heart of stone. So our traumas and places in our heart become like stone. We don't let anything in. And when God then meets us there and says, okay, I'm going to make that flesh again, that can be so painful. But it's so good because then at the end of it, that hardness has went away.
Exactly.
So that's what I was thinking when you were talking about that is like, oh man, that's just like getting a heart of flesh for a heart of stone, which, you know, people have interpreted that a lot of different ways. But in the context of this, I think it really makes sense.
Yeah. And so that's what I feel like that when I was thinking about what does redevelopment equals renovation mean, it's more about those kind of things, looking at the deeper, the wider, the length of the wound. Sometimes the wound is very lengthy and we don't know it.
Yeah.
And we're not really being authentic. We're only still reacting from the woundedness.
Yeah. And sometimes we're not safe enough or feeling safe enough, I should say. We probably are safe enough to even allow ourselves to process a trauma in a different way. To really, I don't know, just don't process it in the same way you always have. Because you've probably reacted to it in a way that was survival. in the way which God made us, you know, to protect ourselves. But we interpreted it in a sinful world in a way that isn't healthy. So we do these things. We don't process. We pull down the walls. We stop our emotions. We do a million things when we're processing a trauma. So, and God wants to, like, have us look at it differently. Mm-hmm. And being willing to do that is very hard. I say it so easily, like it's, oh, yeah, just so simple. But it's really not.
Well, because the reason it's not easy primarily is because everything you believed prior to the really deep level of truth, you've got to give that up.
Yeah.
And to give that up, if we're not careful, we'll go into shame and blame. And we'll go into feeling stupid and ignorant and saying that, you know, so everything I believed in was not true. And it's not about that. It's about, no, what you knew then was not true, but what you now know is a deeper truth.
Yeah.
You did the best you could with what you had.
Right.
Now you're learning something new, so you got to be willing to renovate that old information and revise it and recreate it, which we're going to talk about next. The word is recreate, equal, and refresh. It's about not beating yourself up, but knowing that you only could do what you did based on what you knew. And now that you know better, you can do better.
Yeah. Yep. And be willing.
And be open.
Yeah.
And not take it personal.
Yeah.
Not condemn yourself because you didn't know what you didn't know.
Right.
I only can do with what I know. I'm only responsible for what I know. If I didn't know, I didn't know. And it's okay, being okay to say, I don't know, which I say humans have it's very difficult for humans to say, I don't know.
Yeah. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And, you know, for me, just thinking about my traumas, my biggest thing that kept me from even processing mine, first it was unconscious and then I became conscious of it, was letting go of the trauma felt like letting go of me. To a degree, like my identity, an identity that I had created based around the trauma. And then it was like, oh, maybe I'm not that. And like I said, it was unconscious at first. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that they were associated. And we'll talk about this in another podcast about identity. But I when I got to the point where I was aware of it, I was still scared to let it go. Like, well, if I let this trauma go, that
because you don't know who you're going to be.
Well, that was exactly it. If I let this go, what am I then? What does
because
that
became
me?
The personality. Trauma became your personality.
Right.
It became your person. And so now to let it go, you would have to discover a whole new person, which creates new freedom. But you have to be willing to let go of that identity to really reach for the identity that you were created to be.
Exactly. And that was way hard because then I almost wanted to go running down a hall screaming like, why do I become?
Because it's the unknown. It's right? The unknown.
Right. It's was way unknown. Scary. Yeah.
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 It's the unknown.
For sure. So. For sure. But all right. At that, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you for joining us. Join us for our next episode. Like she said, we're going to be talking about recreate equals refresh. And we got some really great insights for you all. Hope you all are well. Happy New Year. Hi, guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts, and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lacreta Bowman.